Welcome to the Process Breakdown Podcast, where we talk about streamlining and scaling operations of your company, getting rid of bottlenecks, and giving your employees all the information they need to be successful at their jobs. Now, let's get started with the show.
Hi, Chad Franzen here, co-host of the Process Breakdown Show, where we talk about streamlining and scaling operations of your company, getting rid of bottlenecks, and giving you everything they need to be successful at giving your staff everything they need to be successful at their job. This episode is brought to you by Sweet Process. Have you had team members ask you the same questions over and over again, and this is the 10th time you spent explaining it? There's a better way and a solution. Sweet Process is a software that makes it drop-dead easy to train and onboard new staff and save time with existing staff. Not only do universities, banks, hospitals, and other software companies use them, but first responder government agencies use them in life or death situations to run their operations. Use Sweet Process to document all the repetitive tasks that eat up your precious time so you can focus on growing your team and empowering them to do your best work, do their best work. Sign up for a free 14-day trial, no credit card required. Go to sweetprocess.com. That's sweet like candy, S-W-E-E-T process.com. My guest today is Courtney Kress, Vice President of Managed Services at Decision Point Technologies, formerly known as Acuity Technologies, in Tampa, Florida. With over 25 years of experience in the voice, data, and wireless industry, Courtney's expertise lies in managed services, mobility, telecommunications, and information technology, enabling impactful contributions to the company's and client's success. Courtney, thanks so much for joining me today. How are you?
Yep. I'm awesome. Thank you for having me, Chad. This is exciting.
Hey, tell me a little bit more about, I know you guys just kind of changed to Decision Point Technologies from Acuity. Tell me a little bit more about Decision Point.
Sure. So at Acuity and Decision Point, it's really a complementary addition to the organization. So our focus on the Acuity side has been in operational execution, creating a well-oiled machine from organization processes, the security aspects of it, and how we deliver to our clients. The Decision Point side, so our primary focus is managed mobility services, where we're managing large fleets of enterprise corporate devices, rugged devices, such as like the Honeywell and the Zebras. We do a lot of iOS, Androids for organizations that typically have 500 to 20,000 mobile assets under management. And on the Decision Point side, their focus was more on the rugged, not on the managed services as much. So we've already created the managed services world and execution of it, and they found that attractive. And we naturally, with their client base, saw a bunch of opportunity that we could kind of expand and explore it together. So really exciting stuff. They're a large organization, being part of this bigger picture and being able to kind of infuse the managed services, recurring revenue models into the Decision Point world and client base it's been a fun challenge. And the operational side with Acuity still operates as a well-oiled machine and just getting integrated into the Decision Point world. So it's super exciting. The acquisition was in September, so we're finally getting through some of the integration points, and we're taking our time with it. So making sure our clients are stable and the outcomes are positive, and we're going to continue to push forward. So thanks again for having me. I'm super excited to share about the kind of extensive research I've done into tools like Sweet Process and how we're utilizing it today.
Yeah, awesome. What would you say is maybe the biggest pain point or problem or challenge that your company solves for customers?
So the complexity that surrounds mobility is a lot more than you would come to think. So when a corporate user has a mobile device, it tends to be something still personal to them, even though it's used for corporate purposes. So we have a 24/7 help desk to help end user support. The benefits are on how we're leveraging our automations and APIs into the varying systems. So the carrier side of it, Verizon, AT&T APIs, the client feeds that we can trigger automation workflows to say a new hire starts, they get this package, this mobile device, this case, this kit, and this bundle. And we use our automation tools to process those changes and requests where the impact to the clients are timely, consistent communication that's transparent to users. And our backend is a reconciliation of various data sets like MDM solutions, carriers, HR. And really, that's the core of our differentiator of what kind of sets us apart. And what it solves for is inventory accuracy. A lot of clients today don't get their old assets back. Somebody walks, they might not see that phone again, and that has a liability, and it's tied to, you know, a potential significant cost depending on what model and the age of the device. So there's a lot of challenges in the world of mobility and the complexity of it. It's a lot of swivel chair trying to keep up with it. And what we've built is a way, an approach that delivers the consistent outcomes, reporting, transparency, and it takes it off their team from doing, you know, tasks that may not be very rewarding or valuable. They can focus on other big projects and such.
To give people context, how many employees work at Decision Point Technologies, and what's maybe an example or a type of client that you guys serve usually?
Sure. So on the Acuity side, we were roughly 55 to 60 employees from acquisition, majority under operations. We've got our own in-house dev team. Our development team has been a critical part to get us integrations and across the finish line with a lot of the software that we've created internally and externally. The Decision Point side is very similar from a client base. It's just now we're not limiting it to just the rugged devices, procuring those, or software licenses. We're looking at the full managed services. So forward reverse logistics, the assessing of the carrier expenses. You would think, oh, unlimited makes sense, where really it's not cost effective depending on the type of account and the use cases. So we're managing the expenses and the inventory to keep it as accurate as possible. In the Decision Point world, we actually have a couple mutual clients that we ended up sharing in, and what's interesting is our approach is so different and unique and set apart from each other that there was no conflict, let's say. So, for example, in the world where we're managing mostly consumer devices, they're focused on the rugged, the refreshing those large fleets of Zebras and Honeywell scanner devices, peripherals like printers and such. So the focus is definitely different and complements each other, where we can essentially turn it into instead of a once a year license renewal, or providing selling equipment when the old hardware gets out of date and needs to be refreshed. We're adding in the full managed services, which is kind of going to tie nicely into how we're using the Suite Process tool. Because there's it in the complexity of how everything gets handled. In mobility, you think about all the variables. It could be this person going on leave of absence. What happens to their phone? That's a policy. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, if what are the plan choices that we could go with? Are they allowed to go international if a user does travel overseas, or is that blocked and limited? There's so many elements to it to prevent unnecessary expenses for the client or inefficiencies that. The ROI is not just from a hard cost perspective on the carrier. There's true soft costs that are built in based on the automations and such that we bring to the table. And the Decision Point world has been a good portion of managed services, but the majority has been in that handheld, rugged, that device space, and basically selling that with the licenses and such that accompany it. So it's a good natural fit for us to kind of bring the two organizations together, and it's been really exciting to get kicked off in the new year and start moving forward into, you know, training, teaching, educating the organization of the true differences. It's a complex sale, but we can keep it as simple as possible and explore, you know, their clients with the new managed services model that we built.
Very nice. So you mentioned Suite Process. Let's kind of go back to the beginning. How did you discover Suite Process?
So I had created what we call an annual goal. We call them rocks because we were part of a different organizational tool called 90 and EOS, and it's how we set goals to run the organization down from a leadership perspective down to the various teams. And it aligned everybody on the same page with the vision, where we're headed. And through that process, during our reviews, we look at where are the gaps, what could be improved, where do we invest time and effort and financial potential investments into to make these operational improvements. So I had taken the big goal, which has been one of mine for many years. I've spent about 10 years with Acuity. And prior to that, I've owned my own businesses, and they three of them have actually been acquired as well. So this looking at how do we solve for something that doesn't appear to be in the marketplace, the goal was to capture all of the client policies and how we perform for them on their behalf, that all the decisions that get made, store them someplace that is easily accessible, not a spreadsheet or a smart sheet or a Word doc. Or, you know, it could be OneDrive, all those variable things that create content and inconsistent. Whereas looking for what we call a runbook to be able to put together these different policies and the technical specs and all of the data that comes along with it, how we perform, what steps are necessary, we were missing a tool to be able to host it online and provide restrictions of what team can access what and where do we go for this? Well, clearly we phased out of using spreadsheets a long time ago. And what I did is I started the venture of just searching, Googling, trying to find a tool that can hold, give the same kind of structure, but utilize it externally for our clients. We also use it internally, but finding a solution that matched what we were looking for isn't in the marketplace, but we've been able to work with Suite Process to kind of convert it into an external facing tool, not just used for the internal side, which we do, but the value for us was finding is something that would be as close as possible to a runbook online that we can host and have the restrictions and the security element to it. The looking at four or five different companies, I did a bunch of demos and calls and stuff, and found obviously Suite Process to be the closest to fit what we were looking for. And we've been able to convert this into a tool that's leveraged on a daily basis and used by all the teams to make it into this runbook style format. So a lot of architect of how it got designed and how we're utilizing it, education for who updates it and what the processes are around that. But I'll share that this was one of the only ones from a cost perspective that was within budget and had the most flexibility, as well as access to talk to them about, hey, have you thought about adding something like this to it? Could that be put into the dev backlog? Just because we're always trying to stay one step ahead and transform whatever we can into you know, innovative and be able to have long-term partnerships with software tools like these guys.
So you guys really put it to use, maybe for more than a lot. Maybe you use it in ways that a lot of other people don't, a lot of other companies don't. Before you found Suite Process, what was your situation like?
So we had, and of course, then being a somewhat smaller organization, we're using spreadsheets that we called a hardware matrix and essentially had each client the type of bundles that are approved and their policies. And it was in a single spreadsheet, and that was locked down. However, constantly needing updates, who moved what cell, the spreadsheets are not great. And I think the bigger problem with it is we had to provide a certain level of access to all of our service desk agents, as well as all the technicians that are working on these clients, which gets very costly when they have a certain Microsoft Office license or they have other tools that we have to file storage. So from a licensing of what they needed to just view a spreadsheet was costly. So been able to kind of strip that down. But the pain points were really around managing a spreadsheet and being able to keep it up to date, hold them accountable, who made the change, tracking those. The biggest game changer from going from the old state to the new state is we wanted our clients to have access to their information and they could be a signature within the policies as they make changes. So it actually converted into a change management solution too. Plus, if there's changes throughout, it records all of those activities. And that was part of the controls that we were really missing accountability. You get finger pointing at times, and you really wanted to have something that is locked down, is responsible by the service delivery managers to keep updated, review quarterly with the client for changes. And the tool is able to provide all that. So we kind of morphed it into something to be client facing. It does have a little bit of limitations because that's not how it was designed and brought to market. Mm-hmm. But it's been kind of the backbone for how we function, and we've built a lot more, the knowledge base and integrations and such right out of it. So definitely a lot of pain prior, and this allowed us to get to the next phase of growth. I will say it was a challenge to get the structure where my vision, being in my seat, you know, constantly on the go, always having these ideas in the middle of the night, oh, we should try that thing and this thing. So getting the vision and into execution, it took a good about a year to get everybody momentum and utilizing it and buying into this is the right tool for us. So but once we got there, now we have a SME that stood up and said, I'm going to own this. I know how it works. And then being able to pull it into all the other teams to keep the consistency. So big, big difference for how we were into where we are now.
Sure. So when you said it took about a year for kind of everybody to buy in or whatever, what were some common questions, or what were people skeptical about, or what was what took a year?
I think it's the structure that the spreadsheet version is built out, and getting it in a format that is not just a couple words, but writing the best practice policy. So it was the content we were putting in it, as well as naturally confusion of those that don't understand the process and policy and how those things work together. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, we were a smaller business, always on the go, limited resources to be able to get us to that next level. And naturally, it takes a little bit of understanding between what the policies and processes and procedures and how they relate to each other and when to utilize what. So I think it was more about the buy-in side was really just getting a better understanding of how to use the tool and then how to use it for how we want to leverage and accomplish it. So possibly the training aspect of it and getting it to that point, to that state. So the Roomba concept takes time. Sorry.
Sure, sure. How did you first implement it?
So the first round, I had built the teams and the organization, and then I started with a client name as a team. So the client contract, whichever, you know, each SOW that accompanies a managed services client became the team name, and those that are assigned to that client were in that team itself. So that's how we were able to build the separation between client to client. And then from there, we have the six folder structure. And in each of those is a component of MMS. So let's say engineering, for example. In there, we have a set of five or six different policies that we discuss with client to understand how they want to proceed with that. Let's say archiving old data, something silly like that. That policy is best practices drafted in the runbook. And then based on their decision, we modify it and then can roll it out for execution for go live. So I think the challenging part was my brain thought of this great vision with fully documented, and it took about 4 years to get to that point mm-hmm. where everything is best practice documented. Wasn't necessarily a negative on the software side, but it was more about how do we create such a powerful tool by building out the content to really excel this. And even talking with other partners and such, we haven't seen anything in the marketplace still as of yet to deliver something similar to like this type of solution, targeting MSPs specifically. The vision and then how to get it executed, resource, and then getting buy-in. And now obviously it's a well-oiled machine and what we have to leverage on a daily basis.
Was there a point where you, during that time that you were, you know, starting to use it or getting it, you know, the ball was rolling, where you realized there was like a big game changer?
Yes, I would say the when even in the pre-sale process and discussing the runbook concept and the tool that we use, it the client's eyes are opened and they're interested and intrigued to hear more about this type of tool. There's not something other MSPs and stuff that we've seen in just my experience is that it's not very well documented or a tool that can accomplish that. So all of the components of how we manage and perform every step of the way, even sharing it with internally with the DPT folks as we're moving forward with integrations, this whole concept is very it gets a lot of attention and they're all intrigued. And I think it's gonna even be a good sales tool in our pocket to say this is how we leverage the software piece and this is how we build it out. And that's gonna give you the benefits of having consistency, approval flows, being aligned on what policies that they have made decisions on. A lot of times they say, "Oh, I thought I said this in that meeting." And then you go back and you reference it and it wasn't changed or communicated, and you can see the log right there in the tool. So I will say it wasn't a flip of a switch because of getting all the service delivery managers and the project management teams aligned with how to build it out thoroughly. So it wasn't necessarily a flip of a switch, but it was more showing and demonstrating and then getting a few people excited internally that are, as OCD as I am to be able to keep things organized. They just latched onto it and helped really get it across the finish line where we can leverage it in all the different areas. Even internally on the finance side, how we process certain invoices, client specifics related to procurement and purchase orders. So every function is how we operate and how we do our roles, and then the client specifics in their client portions as well. So it's in the acquisition, it has been a game changer because we just give them access and go, here's the steps we take. And they're like, oh, wow, you have this documented? Yes. So huge
Is it possible to
benefit.
explain or quantify maybe how it saved you time or energy or money now that you've, especially now that you've got it kind of built out at least the way that you'd like it?
Yeah, I think that in a world of managed services where you have an assigned service delivery manager that's working certain clients and others that are working other clients, and when the set of standards is visible, I can then have this team process it the same way as this team and this team. So being able to have a consistency and accountability in that has eliminated manual errors, ordering incorrect hardware, let's say, because it wasn't documented correctly. There's at least 50% more data built out in the tool compared to what we had before. So we went from having to apologize for some manual mistakes to having it set in place and really been able to minimize a lot of that risk. I think the biggest impact is the client risk. I remember purposely when I was looking for the tool, we always had that one or two client customers that they say they agreed to something or forget to communicate it and then go back. And then we're like, wait a second, I know he said that. And trying to have to look for something that documents it, has the signature portion, and having that piece alone just put everything in a much more stable place of instead of just constant, oh, I said to do it this way and not that way. Well, let's capture it. Let's document it. Do you agree? Sign off. So it's improved the client relationships from, it's hard to put a dollar on it, but I'll say it definitely took our organization to the next level of being able to keep up the documentation as well as the innovation that we're doing throughout the business. So it's a, I'll, you know, we are more on the two steps ahead innovation side with our approach and our dev team, and being able to use a tool like this is critical that it does align with our approach as a whole. So
So for you personally, you were kind of running the spreadsheet system that you had before, and then you spearheaded the switch over to Suite Process. How has it changed your typical day?
So today there's given growth in size naturally, we have built out additional service delivery manager's additional structure to the organization with more clients. So for me, it gives me a peace of mind that I can look very easily into either KPIs or documentation with just a few clicks to know that we're good. There's not a fear of, did that get documented? How are they approaching that? Or why is that getting escalated? Now I can easily see our performance metrics as well as the documentation in a couple clicks. And I've got more of a peace of mind that as I'm moving out of the operational role into more of the, you know, how are we building out managed services? I can sleep better at night, I think is probably the biggest benefit. And while that may seem silly, it's a significant one for me.
Yeah, no, sleep is a huge benefit. what's the next big goal you want to achieve with Decision Point?
Oh boy. I think that there's an opportunity to engage and spread the similar processes into their other, you know, non-advanced clients that our service provides. And that giving the structure and giving the tool that we're already using and exposing it, my goal would be to leverage this either internally for processes and externally for clients, or at a minimum internally for processes, because it's such an easy tool to use. It's very, it makes sense. You know, we're heavily embedded into it. So spreading that throughout and getting more structure on the DPT side. Mm-hmm. For me personally, it's adding these complex clients, speaking about this runbook tool, and really just wowing them with our approach. And that makes this has been a part of it. So
yeah, nice. That's awesome. Stuff. Hey, last question for you. Given everything that we've talked about here, what would you say is the very next step someone listening should take to streamline operations?
I would say invest in the time to fully understand how it works and put a SME in place that can be that point person that maybe has a little bit more bandwidth than you do. You know, me being in this role, I'm a bit all over the place and got quite a big workload as I move forward. But the moving something and putting something in place, everybody thinks, oh God, a new thing is software and oh, we got to make changes and how are we going to learn that? So teaching at first, building out the format you're looking to achieve, even just in a basic, you know, structure, and then putting somebody that's dedicated to fully understanding how these things work together, and being able to then have a rollout plan, training and education around it. I think that my learning lesson that was putting a resource on it that really could have helped push it along quicker, mm-hmm. Rather than just my words. So,
okay. Thank you so much. Well, that's great. Great to hear from you, Courtney, about Sweet Process and your experience about it. Thank you so much for all of your time today. Really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, love it. Thanks for having me.
So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Process Breakdown Podcast. Before you go, quick question. Do you want a tool that makes it easy to document processes, procedures, and/or policies for your company so that your employees have all the information they need to be successful at their job? If yes, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. No credit card is required to sign up. Go to sweetprocess.com, sweet like candy, and process like process.com. Go now to sweetprocess.com and sign up for your risk-free 14-day trial.
Hi, this is Owen, the CEO and co-founder here at Sweet Process. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast interview, you know what I want you to do? Go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That way we get more people aware of, you know, the good stuff that you get here on this podcast. Again, go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Looking forward to reading your review. Have a good day. That's